wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
It is the morning of February 25th. Welcome to Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. You know Jeff, former Vikings general manager, former NFL executive of the year. You can find all of our shows, including this one, at TalkNorth.com. You can subscribe or listen anywhere you like. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see the shows as they are released. We have a ton of outdoor content as well as all the sports content at TalkNorth.com. Jeff, let's get right into it. And we also want to thank our longtime sponsors, White Bear Lake Superstore, WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com. Peter King, friend of both of ours, longtime NFL writer, influential NFL writer, put out a proposed trade earlier this week that, of course, drew a lot of attention because everything regarding the NFL and quarterbacks this time of the year draws a lot of attention. And basically it would have the Vikings trading away Kirk Cousins, trading for Deshaun Watsons, and giving up four high draft picks and two good players to make that deal happen. I looked at it and I said, okay, now listen, Peter is not Mr. Clickbait. He's not, you know, Peter has earned his reputation as a very good NFL reporter, but this was way too far into the realm of fantasy land for me. And I wanted, as a former NFL executive, I wanted to get your view of that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think you start from the premise. And as you said, Peter's a good friend of both of ours and very well respected veteran football writer covering the NFL. But this was just really kind of crazy to me. And you start from the premise that to deal Cousins would take a huge cap hit in dead money, anywhere from 33 to 41 million, I've seen. And so right there, it kind of precludes the possibility. Although we have seen teams do those deals. And just recently with Carson Wentz to Indianapolis, and Philadelphia is going to eat, I think, 30 some million this year in dead money. So it's possible, but very unlikely. And in the proposed deal that Peter put out there, he had Cousins, Anthony Barr, Alexander Mattison, two first-round picks and two second-round picks for Deshaun Watson. That is way, way too rich in any respect, regardless of the cap hits on Cousins. If you just take it on its face, it's just too much for any player. And I think the comparison that was made in the Star Trib in your newspaper was to the Herschel Walker deal, which, of course, I lived very close hand and had a bird's eye view of at the time, because I was with Mike Lynn in Dallas when he made that deal back in 1989. And we were at the NFL owners meeting, and Mike excused himself. And it was the meeting where Paul Tagliabue was elected commissioner. Mike excused himself. He said, "Jeff, hey, you put the vote in for Tagliabue. I got to go have a little conversation with Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson." And the funny part of that whole story, not so funny for our team, was we were flying back on the plane that night, and Mike said, "I made the deal for Herschel Walker." I said, "Oh, wait, what'd you give up, Mike?" And he said, "I gave up a bunch of players that we can live without. Good players, Darren Nelson, Jesse Solomon, Isaac Holt, several starters," and didn't even mention to me the draft choices that were attached to the deal, which of course was the main part of the deal. But as history showed, it was one of the worst deals in Vikings history. And whenever I give a speech, I always start out by saying I had nothing to do with the Herschel Walker trade. But anyway.
And by the way, I'll just add my two cents, too, because I have a fascinating personal history. I was covering the 1989 was my first year covering a pro beat. I was covering the Cowboys along with Tim Callishaw. And the next year I would come up here to cover the Vikings and you in 1990 and Mike Lynn. And I remember everybody thought of the deal the way Mike Lynn thought of the deal at first. Everybody thought, whoa, the Vikings traded some players they didn't really need for the running back who might be the key to their puzzle. And nobody thought that Jimmy Johnson, as a quote unquote desperate, inexperienced young head coach and general manager, would keep the draft picks. Everybody thought he would be so impressed because his roster was so bad that he would keep the players, not keep the draft picks. What they didn't understand was Jimmy is much shrewder than he let on. He wanted the draft picks, and then he found a way to also keep the players. He completely played Mike on that one.
Yeah, he definitely did. And And I think that especially by being able to keep several of the guys that he wanted to, guys like Isaac Holt and in particular, who started for them for a couple of years. But it just ended up being a devastating trade. And Herschel, of course, his first game with the Vikings looked like a huge win for us because he had 150 yards rushing. He had a great kickoff return, and we won the game. I think we beat the Packers. It was fantastic. But then things kind of unfortunately went south over time and was never really a great fit for Jerry Burns' offense. And so, yeah, it just was kind of disastrous. It took us a while to recover and as an organization, but by a couple of years later, we were back in the playoffs. And I think part of the reason was because we had such a good scouting department led by Jerry Reichow and Frank Gilliam that they were able to find players further down in the draft. And I'm thinking of guys like Jake Reed, who was one of the draft picks that came back to us in the Walker deal from Dallas. And of course, Jake ended up being a starter for many years and several thousand yard receiving years and great tandem with Chris Carter. So we were able to somehow overcome it, but it took a couple of years.
Yeah. He also found John Randall, Texas A&I, which is a big deal for you too.
Yeah. That was a good deal for a $5,000 signing bonus, but back to Peter King and his proposal. No, I would shoot that down in a heartbeat. I would maybe trade Cousins and a first and a second round pick or something like that for a 25-year-old franchise quarterback, but I'm not going to throw in two first round picks, two second round picks, Barr and Madison and Cousins. No, thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. It is a time of intrigue for the NFL because we have the draft approaching, free agency approaching, and decisions on franchise tags. I want to kind of get into the inner workings of all that because you understand it so well. I do want to get into Danielle Hunter before we get into the stuff around the league, though. And before we get into Danielle Hunter, though, let's thank our longtime sponsors, White Bear Lake Superstore. You can find their inventory and all their deals and beautiful photos of all their vehicles at whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Absolutely. The White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, and my longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Guttrell, their great staff, are Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and with their super friendly premium team. And you mentioned their great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com, and you'll see there's great pricing on the first ever Buick Encore GX, stylish and nimble, and there's a lease deal, $299 per month on that Buick Encore GX. There's a great 0% financing for 72 months on 2021 GMC Sierra HD Denalis and $10,000 off MSRP on 2020 Buick Envisions with 0% financing for 72 months. The White Bear Lake Superstore also is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore, and they're a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut, so visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
And if you'd like to sponsor this program or any of the shows across the growing TalkNorth.com platform, you can reach Karen Cleary, former Twins executive at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. Thanks also to our producer, Brandon Morton, as always. All right, so there continue to be rumors swirling, because that's what rumors do. They swirl around Danielle Hunter. And as we pointed out before, he's a great player. He's a great player. His current deal isn't that old, and he's coming off a year that he missed because of injury. I just don't know if this is the time for anything to really happen on that front, is it?
I think it's very doubtful and very difficult in order to do a deal like that. And even for Danielle Hunter to get traded and somebody to absorb him and also do a new contract for him in a year when the salary cap is going to go down from $200 million down to about $185 to $190 just really doesn't make a lot of sense. But I just think it's absurd for Danielle Hunter and his camp and his agent, Zeke Santu, who also represents Odell Beckham Jr. Hey, agents throw this stuff out there all the time when they think their guy is undervalued. And Danielle Hunter is a great player, a very productive player, but he's coming off a neck injury and neck surgery that caused him to miss the entire season. Just doesn't make any sense that this would be the year that the Vikings would be willing to make him a $20 million plus a year player. He's already making close to $15 million a year, and he's got, I think, 3 years left on his deal. Really what makes sense is to sit for one more year and say, hey, Daniil, show us you're still a double-digit sack guy, a 15-sack guy, and then come back to the table next year, and you'll have 2 years left on the deal, and then we can do your new contract and bring you up to where Joey Bosa and Myles Garrett, who are the top paid guys now, they've kind of surpassed Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald, and they're probably in the 22 to 24 million a year range. And if Hunter has that kind of season again, he deserves to be there. But coming off a neck injury where you miss an entire season, that does not make sense to me. And I would definitely not want to do that if I was in the Vikings situation and Rick Spielman.
No, it makes no sense to me. I think we've said enough about that. We'll continue to monitor it, but we've been saying that all along. Let's get into the franchise tag period and how it could affect the Vikings, but especially teams with even bigger issues around the league. I think the biggest one you hear in the national media, because everybody in the national media loves talking about the Cowboys, and the Cowboys have one of the most intriguing situations in all of football, is they have a franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott. He's exceptional. They've never signed him to a long-term deal. And once again, they are facing franchise tag decisions with him. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, I think that you look at the franchise tag period that started this week and runs through March 9th. And first of all, I don't expect the Vikings to franchise tag anybody this year. They did Anthony Harris last year. I don't think they're going to do that again this year. It would cost probably close to $14 million to franchise Anthony Harris. And he's not coming off as great a year as he had in 2019. And they're also in a situation where they probably are looking to extend Harrison Smith. And if you're looking at making a decision between Harrison Smith and Anthony Harris, even though Harrison is a little bit older, but he still is historically the more productive player. And so I think that Anthony Harris will not be franchised again this year at that high level, especially with the cap going down and the Vikings needing cap space already. And so I think that looking around the league, the two most interesting situations to me, as you mentioned, Dak Prescott, who was franchised last year, and this year in order to franchise him, I think last year was around $31 million, would cost about $37 million on a one-year tender. And the Cowboys have about $20 million of cap room, according to SpotTrack. But in order to do that, they still have to free up some money to stick the tag on him. What really makes more sense is to finally get that long-term deal done that I think they should have done 2 years ago with Prescott. And if they do that long-term deal, they can probably get a first-year cap number closer to the $15 to $20 million range. Because of having a big signing bonus, spreading it out over 4, 5, 6 years, they can get the cap number down and do more things. But to stick the tag on him at $37 million, I'm sure they'll do it if they have to, because they don't want to lose him. But really, they really need to get this deal done now, once and for all. And I think the other interesting franchise tag situation is in Tampa Bay with the now Super Bowl champs. And the debate there, Shaq Barrett, who led the league in sacks 2 years ago and was extremely effective in the postseason run this year. He was great and is clearly one of the league's top pass rushers. And then they've got Chris Godwin, who's an excellent wide receiver coming off his rookie contract and still young at 24, 25 years old. But the Bucs have strength at wide receiver with Mike Evans, who's their number one guy. And they've got our IFA guy, Tyler Johnson, and they've got Scotty Miller. And so they've got some strength at wide receiver. So I think they could absorb the loss of Chris Godwin potentially. And if I were them, I'd be not wanting to lose my best pass rusher in Shaq Barrett. And so, but that will be interesting to watch too, because Godwin would be a cheaper franchise tag. I think he'd be closer to $15 million. Versus Barrett would be closer to 19 or 20 million. So that'll be one to watch. New Orleans with Trey Hendrickson, who had 13 and a half sacks, Kenny Galladay, rumored to be franchised in Detroit, who's an excellent wide receiver, but has had some injuries. And I don't think the Bears are going to let Allen Robinson walk without franchising him. And so that'll be interesting. And Leonard Williams in with the Giants, too, I think another guy who played really well, but wasn't in a contract year because he had his best season last year. So we'll see. The franchise tag, especially interesting this year, Jim, because the salary cap is going to drop. But teams also know that big TV contract is coming down the road, and that could really jack up the cap in the next several years. And I think that what really makes more sense for a team like Dallas to do a long-term deal with Prescott.
Yeah, that does make sense. By the way, I know your agency, IFA, represents Stephen Weatherly. He left to go play in Carolina. I've seen a little bit of speculation that maybe he could end up back with the Vikings. Do you have any feel on where he is in his career or what his prospects might be right now?
Yeah, he was released by Carolina, unfortunately. And so, I've talked to Blake Barrett, president of IFA, and there is a lot of interest in Stephen out there. So not sure where he would end up at this point. And the Vikings could be a possibility that he could return here and add depth to that defensive line and the pass rushers. And he has some really good performances with the Vikings, especially during the time when he replaced Everson Griffin, when he was out for several weeks, and Stephen made a ton of big plays, had 3-4 sacks during that period. And so, yeah, he will land and he'll be fine. And so we'll just see how that one plays out. But that'll be part of the interesting start of free agency for us at IFA.
Yeah, and well, my vote is he comes back to the Vikings. He's one of the best. He was one of the best personalities in that locker room. He was a good player here, of course, but he was just a lot of fun. I mean, I that's one thing I like about your clients is so many of them are very personable. You know, Adenabo, Weatherly, Tyler Johnson, they're just fun people to be around. So my vote is you have him re-sign with the Vikings. Hopefully you can have that done by the time we talk again.
that would be nice. I'd love to have him back here too. We'll see how that shakes out. But yeah, he's a great guy and certainly a Renaissance guy. Plays 9 musical instruments, all those great things, and just really bright and personable. And I love Steven and hope he lands in a great spot.
So Carson Wentz finally does get traded to Indianapolis. He has not played well lately. He has excuses, but his actual play was not very good, especially last year. Do you see him bouncing back?
I think he will to a certain extent. I think that he's in a great spot with Frank Reich, the head coach of the Colts, who he had his most success with at the Eagles. But injuries have just been such a big part of his downfall. And I think because Philadelphia's offensive line, he lost confidence in them. Now he goes to a team in the Colts who have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, even though they have to replace Anthony Costanza. And so we'll see how that shakes out for them. But I think he is in a place where he can be rebuilt confidence-wise and having a really good running game with Jonathan Taylor there. And as I said, a really good offensive line. And I expect Carson Wentz to bounce back. I don't know that he's ever going to be a top 5 quarterback in the league again, as he kind of was in 2017, the Eagles Super Bowl season. But we'll see. I think he's got a good chance. He's in the best place where he can be. I think the interesting thing there too, Jim, is you think about the top of that draft in whatever 2016 or whenever it was, and Goff and Wentz went 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and both guys traded this year, and both of their original teams, the Rams and the Eagles, taking huge cap hits because they did these big extensions for them after their third seasons. And how's that going to play out with teams such as Buffalo, Baltimore, that have guys like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, who are kind of in the same situation now, who have finished their third seasons and are looking for big deals? And these teams have to think, wow, got to be a little careful about that when it can come back to bite you, as it did for Goff and Wentz for the Rams and the Eagles. But I do think that Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are better players than Goff and Wentz.
Yeah, and, you know, Allen has gotten his team to an AFC championship game and played really well. And Lamar Jackson's been the MVP of the league. You know, Wentz looked like he was on his way to being an MVP, but then he hurt the knee. Then his team won a Super Bowl with somebody else, and he hasn't played well since. I just, I don't know. I guess my red flag with Wentz is he didn't seem to handle watching his team win with another quarterback very well, and he didn't seem to handle the leadership aspect of the job that well the last couple of years. It looked like he, to me, from what I heard behind the scenes, he's always looking for an excuse.
Yeah, and that, again, I think Frank Reich's going to sit him down and say, hey, look, we're not going to go down that road. We're going to be positive here. You need to be a leader. You're the starting quarterback on the team. You're stepping in for a guy who was very well respected in Philip Rivers, even though he was up in age, and following Andrew Luck before that, and although Jacoby Brissett had an interim period there too. And so, yeah, I think that it's really on Frank Reich to get Carson Wentz back in shape. And I think he can do the job, but again, I think injuries are going to be a big part of it. And so we'll see how that shakes out.
Last topic for today. Thanks to everyone who listened to TalkNorth.com. Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton, and White Bear Lake Superstore. If you had told me 2 years ago that Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll were going to suddenly be in a spat, I would have said that's, to me, the least likely combination of quarterback and coach that I could see having any problems. Now there are a bunch of reports out that Wilson really – they really have been battling over – offense coordinators, how the offense is run, how much say Russell Wilson has in it. Any insights into this or how it might play out?
Yeah, I'm surprised too, to a certain extent, Jim. I think that, as we've talked about previously, it's kind of the NBA syndrome where players are more empowered today, and especially when you're a $35 million a year quarterback and you've got a ton of money in the bank, and your wife is an entertainer. There's plenty of income in the Russell Wilson household that he can, shall we say, make some waves out there if he's not happy with what's going on. And that's exactly what's happening here. And I think the only surprising thing to me is that Pete, who I know very well, you know very well, and really is such a player's coach, that he has not been able to sit down with Russell at this point and say, hey, we'll work with you on this. We'll get this thing put together. And that it sounds like there's a little more going on there than you would think. And so I'm a little surprised that they haven't nipped this in the bud yet with Pete Carroll and John Schneider there. Two guys I think have done a terrific job in Seattle and really have a good pulse of the team. But obviously Russell is feeling his oats a little bit, and maybe he's looking for a change. Maybe his wife wants out of Seattle. You never know what's going on behind the scenes. And so we'll see. It's going to be interesting to follow that story. And so, yeah, I think that surprises me too, though.
Yeah, fascinating. So many things to follow here in the NFL. Thank you for listening. If you like this show, I recommend also checking out the Viking Update show. That's John Krasinski's show with me, where we take the writer's look at the Vikings in the NFL. We also have Cheryl Reeve, Roy Smalley, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta, plus all of our outdoor content and extra hockey shows and Gopher Hole. And everything, as always, you can find at TalkNorth.com.